You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner. Firstly, by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club.
Hello, Rhys.
Hello, Lloyd. May I just say, actually, how great your sound is this week, all of a sudden.
Oh, that is because we are IRL.
We're in person again. We're not relying on Lloyd's terrible microphone on Zoom, which is one of the most expensive microphones out there, but he doesn't seem to know how to plug it in.
I know how to plug it in. I had to do another podcast this week, not to make you jealous or anything. So I made a few changes and I found out what the problem was. I was using the mic cover in a wrong way. It was pointing the wrong direction. And also I think the connection was a bit shit. So I think we're good in case we need to do any remote ones in the future. Thanks for your concern.
Lovely stuff. Any American guests, suddenly we can do it and not worry about them not being able to hear you, for example.
Oh, no, you'll be able to hear me. It's just the actual...
Could you, for example, get us Jason Sudeikis, given you're such close friends from working on Ted Lasso together?
100%.
Could you?
I could.
You said 100% a second ago, and now you're not saying anything.
Oh, I did. I could 100% put the effort in to try and get him.
Yeah, so could I.
Could you?
I could 100% put the effort in to try and get him, yeah.
So I could message him.
Okay. How? Through his contact form on his website. info@jasonsudeikis.com.
It's actually jasonsudeikis.net.
Fair enough.
We
get him on. Get Ted Lasso on, mate.
We follow each other on Twitter.
Ask him.
I know
you're not going to ask him, but it's not going to be awkward for you anymore because you'll never see him again.
Well, you never say that. He might go, Lloyd, actually, you know, I enjoyed working with you so much. I've written this show about a journalist called Lloyd.
Okay.
Who's a sports journalist. And he gets the transfer to The Athletic.
Of all the options for spin-offs from Ted Lasso,
go on.
I'd say genuinely bottom of the list would be the character of Lloyd, the journalist.
There's at least
one other journalist who there's more likely to be a spin-off about.
Trent Crim.
Yeah, and then all the other lads who sit around you.
And ladies. New trainers, do you like them?
All right, we're just changing the subject that quickly, are we? Yeah, Asics.
Asics.
Our 6 out of 10.
Oh, there! Oh, that is very good.
That's not bad, actually.
That's not bad. I can see why Brett Goldstein had you twice on his podcast.
That level of stuff that gets you big in the podcast game.
I think they're Japanese, aren't they? Our 6. Who knows? No, nobody knows. And Harry's
shaking his head.
Harry's half Japanese, so, and he doesn't even know. I've got my bags with me, ready to go. I'm going to Birmingham tonight. I'm supporting Jack Whitehall on his arena tour. When this comes out, there'll only be a few dates left on the arena tour. So if you've been to see me support Jack and have been nice about it, thanks very much. If you're coming, also thanks very much. My tour is on sale, lloydgriffith.com, for my show next year, Baroque and Roll, which you very kindly put a little Instagram out yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's really commendable that you're not just podcasting. You're trying something new, trying your hand at stand-up comedy.
I've been doing stand-up for 12 to 15 years.
You've been doing music and tape impressions for 12 to 15 years.
I've been
now
doing
you're going
to
try and do some gags,
years.
See if you can get any gags out there. You can use the Asics out of 10 one if you like.
Hey, that's good, yeah.
You're welcome to use that. I've got some new trainers. Look at these.
What are they? New Balance. Anyway.
Go on. See if you can do sort of as witty as I was about
new
your
Balance,
trainers.
New Balance, 6 out of 10. Doesn't really work, does it?
No, that's not. So there is a formula to the joke, but that's not the formula.
New Balenciaga. No, it doesn't really work, does it? But let's think about no pack of a van, no kiss from a man.
yeah, okay, fair enough.
So I've been doing a lot
Scroobius Pip episode, a couple of episodes back. Go back to listen to that to understand what Lloyd's talking about.
I've been doing a lot of what I like to call flying, and I've been going through what I like to call duty-free. And every time I see Pacaraban, I think of Pacaraban, no kiss from a man. And I said that to Jack's tour manager, Johnny. I went, oh, Pacaraban, no kiss from a man. He went, what, mate? I went, oh,
not
yeah.
a fan of the pod. Not a fan of the pod.
Clearly doesn't. And then we went to a restaurant and he said, still a sparkling.
Oh, for God's sake, get over it.
I know, calm down, mate. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, I am on tour as well. And you can get tickets from reecejames.co.uk.
.co.uk?
Yeah.
.com not available?
Not available. Jewellery company. Feel free to get yourself some jewellery, though. Lovely bloke.
reecejames.com is a jewellery company.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to go to reecejames.com.
Get yourself some jewellery.
Get yourself some jewellery.
Then get over to .co.uk. Get yourself to the show.
What's more expensive, the jewellery or the tickets?
I would have thought the jewellery. You're thinking the jewellery. The tickets are actually very reasonably priced.
They're very well sort of priced.
Reasonably priced.
Oh, that's easy for
very
you to say,
reasonably priced.
I think we've got a guest on today.
James Gill.
Yeah.
A legend in the comedy scene.
So, James Gill. I first gigged with James Gill years and years and fucking years ago. It was when I still had a job. That's what we're talking. So, pre-2012. I picked him up from Turnham Green Station. We went to somewhere in, I want to say, Sussex. It was in a hotel.
Yes, I did the those sorts of gigs
gig
with James
was
years ago.
Absolutely
East Grinstead
fine.
Type places.
Those kind of places, yeah. It was for a guy called Alan, I do believe, who had a company called Ha Ha Comedy. And I drove us, me, him, Henry Ginsberg, and someone whose name I can't remember.
None of this is interesting, but the point is, James is on the podcast. He runs what many comics of various levels, but actually quite high levels.
Oh, very high levels.
Consider to be the greatest gig in London.
If not the country.
If not the country, yeah. It is just an absolute confidence gig.
Well, the reason I mentioned that story earlier, because he said in the car, oh, I'm thinking about starting my own gig. Will you come and headline it? And I was like, yeah, sure, fine. And it was an open mic night with a pro headliner. And I was very lucky and very honoured to be asked to be one of the first headliners. Since then, it has absolutely evolved to be the place where big,
you
big
never
comedians.
Headline it now. Jack D's busy headlining.
Are you joking?
We're talking.
I had to go on
Romesh.
After Jack D the other
yeah,
night.
I know. It's mad, isn't it? Because people, basically, massive names go there to try out new stuff all the time. And it means that often, if they want to try new stuff, they don't want to be on last because of the pressure of the headliner bringing the gig home. And so you do find yourself often following a Kevin Bridges or a Romesh or a Jack D or someone who's going on. And they're going on. It's new stuff in inverted commas, but they're absolutely
the last three times
it,
I've done it. The first one, I had to follow Jack Whitehall doing new stuff. The second one, I had to follow Jack D doing new stuff. The third one, I was replacing Romesh Ranganathan.
Yeah.
But the weirdest thing is, James made me do Romesh's material.
Ah,
yeah,
fair enough.
Which was a bit, you know, tricky, but got through it and it's standard ovation.
Stuff about your mum.
Yeah, stuff about my mum, basically. So should we just get into the episode?
Let's get into the episode. Joining us this week on Fit and Proper is comedian, warm-up guy, podcast host, live comedy gig mogul.
Definitely mogul.
Father, friend, man I've seen do several press-ups, eat several bananas, and drink a lot of sparkling
several
water.
Several bananas?
I've seen him eat several bananas. Yeah.
I think I've seen him eat thousands of bananas.
Yeah, well, I what does several cover, would you say? What's that up to?
14.
Well, okay, well, fine. I've seen him eat more than several bananas. It's James Gill, everybody.
James Gill.
What a lovely intro. Thanks very much.
Do people often mention the amount of bananas you eat on a podcast?
So much. The banana thing, yeah, it gets referenced a lot by a lot of people. But, I mean, do you have a pre-gig ritual?
Not
on,
really.
I've slipped into Always Be Comedy Podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the first question on the pod.
Let's not waste it.
Hang on, I'd like to apologise to both of you. That was shocking.
That was
so bad.
Put a mic in front of this guy, sit him down, and he will host his own podcast on your podcast.
That's going to keep me awake tonight. I can't apologise enough. Sorry, go on.
I don't think I have a pre-gig ritual. I just walk around the arena, take it all in.
Lovely stuff.
Trying to get in.
It's me, Lloyd.
Do you have a pre-gig ritual? Is that what you're getting at?
All about the bananas. I can't get enough. I've told you this before. You know, I was always banana sparkling water. That was the 1-2.
So for the listener, basically at James's gig, he will absolutely come with at least one banana and two litres of sparkling water under his arm.
Every
time.
That's a lot of gas, wouldn't you say?
Went to the dentist a few weeks ago, and the dentist, I think I might have told this already, Reese. The dentist said, all your teeth are dangerously eroded.
Oh.
And I went, oh, what's that from? And I said, I have coffee in the morning. He goes, it's not coffee. What else do you drink? I went, sparkling water. He goes, how much? I said, at least 2 litres a night, 6 nights a week. That's the problem. So I've had to retire.
Is this a Fit and Proper exclusive? You haven't said this on
this is a Fit and Proper exclusive. Brilliant.
Okay.
I've had to retire from
Harry, get this sent out
water.
To Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Pop bitch need to hear about this one.
Forget the George Osborne email.
We're leaking the real juice. What's in sparkling water it's not sugary.
No,
just water and bubbles, isn't it?
I don't know.
Are the bubbles too intense on your brittle
teeth? It must
teeth?
Be. But he went ashen as he was, as
oh,
I was
God.
Relaying
so
to
what
him.
What are you
going to
do? How are you going to do a gig ever again?
It's still water, and as a teetotaler, it's so boring.
Mm.
Oh God.
Mm. Yeah, I guess. Could you not go flavored water? That's quite nice.
No, it's got so much sugar in it. Flavored water
and sparkling water. So that was like your last thing you had left.
That was my last thing
as a teetotaler. Mate. The last thing you had to enjoy in your life: sparkling water. You can't even have that. Imagine.
Just have a think about that.
Yeah,
like the one slither of joy.
Imagine if you did an intolerance test, I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't be having bananas. You fucking what?
Also, can I just say, with this question, not only have we answered the first question on Fit and Proper and the first question on the Oyster Comedy Podcast, we answered the first question on Off Menu as well.
Oh,
so basically just doing all the podcasts
stuff.
In one.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. So who do you support and do you want poppadoms or bread? Do you know what? I am a man who is dating at the moment.
Brag.
Because,
how does he get that in? Straight away?
Well, she left. But what I've noticed on Hinge, which is the dating app, I think, of the middle classes in London, is that a lot of people do ask, poppadoms or bread?
Oh, is there quirky
and
question?
Every time I say that, I'm like, right, absolutely not. No, thank you.
That, the aim for this podcast is that instead of doing that, they're saying the supercomputer has thrown up a scenario.
That's the dream.
They're asking fit or proper.
People heckling you that at gigs.
My
quirky question.
The supercomputer has thrown up this scenario. I'm reading out something that ChatGPT wrote.
My quirky question is, are you changing the sponsor?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So, James.
Crystal Palace.
Oh, what?
But it's but I have an unusual relationship with Palace. I'm from Leeds, but I was a sports writer. One of my first ever jobs was covering Crystal Palace for the Croydon Advertiser series of newspapers.
So where were you at the time? You're from Leeds.
From Leeds.
Born and bred.
Oh, very good.
Bread. Back on Off Menu.
It's good stuff. It's good.
Born poppadoms.
Stuff. Poppadoms. Sports journalist. I got moved to London with a separate sports journalism job. That place folded. Croydon Advertiser. So from about 02 to 05, barely missed a kick. Home and away, Crystal Palace. Also covering the reserves, the youths. This was before I was married, pre-kids. It was Palace 24/7. And from chatting with the other dudes covering their respective local clubs,
dudes, I like that.
It goes, you go one of two ways. You either loathe the club that you're following because it's taken over your life, or... like me, Stockholm syndrome, and
get really into it.
I was
how old were you then when you first
early mid 20s?
Really,
what sort of stuff were you doing? Match reports, but also transfer rumors, just everything,
literally everything, and was responsible
just
for
covering the youths, mate.
Pages and pages of broadsheet content every week. I was up at the training ground like twice a week. You get to know the players personally.
It's a nice training ground.
I can
it?
Tell you that I know it's the Spurs equivalent of the job you're referring to, actually.
Go
it's
on.
Called Alistair Gold, he writes for Football London. And he covers everything. And it's like anything you need to know about Spurs, if it doesn't matter who else has tweeted it, you've
got
to check if Gold has done it. And that's how you know it's true.
But also, this is not an exaggeration. I would wake up on a morning and my immediate thought was, how is Darren Powell's thigh strain? It was that bad. Also, Ian Dowie, who was, he's
as
a god to
as
me.
You reach for a banana.
I love Ian Dowie so much. We'll still ping the odd message now. But my first impression with Ian Dowie, so when I started covering, it was Trevor Francis, then into Steve Kemba, and then Dowie gets the job. Now, the press conference for the local papers was 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. So, you know, beautiful. And then Dowie gets the job and moves it to 8 a.m. on a Tuesday, which meant getting up at like 6, whatever. Might have even been earlier than 8. Maybe it was even 7:30. And I said to Ian, oh, first time I ever met him, oh, sorry about this. Oh, just so you know, oh, it's actually 1 o'clock on a Tuesday? And he went, yeah, not anymore, it's not.
Okay, so that, trying to...
But he was right, he was right. But then from then on...
But was he trying to get journalists to not turn up?
No, he was. He's just one of these dudes that was... He was like laser focus. Mm. I mean, also, we were third from bottom and he took us to the Premier League via the playoffs. I mean, he was onto something.
All of these people who talk about this, so he's like Mark Wahlberg. He's up at 4 a.m. every day.
He's in like the gym, Mark Wahlberg.
15 minutes for his kids, church. Off to speak to the press, 6 a.m.
I once interviewed Mark Wahlberg for Shortlist.
Come on, this is and, the good stuff.
And we got on like really well because I really? The Fighter is one of my favourite movies. And so we're off and away. And he was terrific, great value. And at the end of the interview, he goes, you know what? We should hang out, right?
Fuck off.
I'm available between 4:15 and 4:30 a.m. every day.
So as soon as the call ended, I was like, I think it was like, let's say it was, I think it was a Paramount movie. So I'm going to Paramount. I'm up for meeting Mark, wherever, just tell me where. You're like looking at the flights. And then I was listening to, I think it's Alan Carr's second autobiography. I had it on the audiobook spinning. And Alan Carr tells an anecdote where he interviewed Lady Gaga. And at the end of the interview, it finished. She goes, you know what? We should hang out. And I've spoken to Alan about this. It's a line that like the mega A-listers
say. They're told to say.
To make you feel like $1 million. So it was. So as I listened to Alan Carr say this, I was like, motherfucker!
Yeah.
Yeah, total. This is,
oh my God. I actually interviewed Mark Wahlberg, but...
He said, all right, cheers, mate. See you later.
No, I actually interviewed Mark Wahlberg, but actually in a film. So I was interviewing...
Oh, you did a film with him?
Yeah, I did a film with Mark Wahlberg where I played a chef. And I had to actually... I was interviewing him in the film, so he wanted to be, I think, the maitre d' or like the restaurant manager,
right?
And I was the chef and interviewing him about what he do. So it's quite weird that we both. Have you interviewed Mark Wahlberg?
No, but I'm his trainer.
Are you?
Good stuff.
He had a chef with him the whole time. He had a travelling chef.
And then you were there playing a chef.
And I was there playing a chef.
He must have been livid.
I've been
preparing for the years. Daniel Day Lewis.
I actually got on with him really well as well.
Did he say we should hang out to you?
He didn't even do the line. No, but it was implied. Which I think actually means more than.
In what way was it implied?
He was like, "Hey, what are you doing later?" I was like, "I'm busy." He went, "That's a shame." And then
none of this happened. None of this even close to happen.
Well, like the lines in my, in the film, that might have also got cut as well. Do you know what I mean? So. I had a lot more lines in the script than actually were in the film.
Yeah, you've got to perform them well or it doesn't make the edit.
I don't know. It's really weird. I don't know.
Yeah, really weird that, isn't it? Everything I act in, it just gets cut. It's weird that.
No, not
it's a weird
everything.
Bit of bad luck.
The editors really hate me.
A run of bad luck I'm on, yeah.
Hey, sometimes I don't even get to the set. Sometimes I do get... I'm not allowed to talk about that. But what I want to ask, did you support Leeds then?
No, I was a Glory supporter, so I supported Liverpool So I had, when I was a child, if my wife would let me, I'd still have them up now, posters of John Barnes on my...
If my wife would let me?
Oh my God.
I don't think that's the issue.
John Barnes.
The issue you're a grown man.
John Barnes is such a hero to me. I used to warm up on an Amazon show called Back of the Net, and John Barnes was a guest, and I'm 45 years old, but...
You don't look it.
Thanks. He was on... And like my knees were, it was one of those shows where, because it was, the three hosts were really friendly, Gabby Logan, Peter Crouch, John Bishop. It was great. So we'd always go for a drink after, and the guest would always come as well. And Barnes was there, and Bishop actually came over to me, because I'm pally with John. I think John could sense that, he was like, "You all right?" Because I'd gone, pale. And I just told him what John Barnes meant to me. And so Bishop, being Bishop, goes over to John Barnes, told him what I just said. John didn't motion to security, and I had my picture taken with him. But I can happily show you the picture. I look like I'm about to burst into tears.
Lovely, isn't he?
Oh, he's so, what a...
Did he show you his shoulder? The bone that's sticking out of his shoulder?
What?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I couldn't...
Lloyd, right. When a guest comes on and tells us a story about meeting someone really famous, you don't have to immediately one-up it with the time you met the same famous person.
No, but also as well, what I would say
Kreischer, you say? Well, actually, me and Bert.
Well, actually, I've got an email from Bert.
An email?
Asking him to come on the podcast, on his podcast, and then I
mean, it's ridiculous. Even that.
That's awesome. Great. Awesome. Even awesome. My example of Bert Kreischer. Yeah, he's one up to my Bert Kreischer.
From that. we're full up. But I do call John Bishop Bish, just so you know.
Bish. Yeah. But that, yeah, so that that great, that iconic Liverpool team, I think I could still name it now.
So... How out of love had you fallen with Liverpool by the time you were doing the Palace job? Or were you still a massive Liverpool fan and then it just sort of gradually shifted to Palace?
No, you're right. Because, you know, Palace took over my life. Mm. So your interest in Liverpool and indeed the Premier League, pretty much zero, because you're full on Championship and attending every single match. And then I think it was Ipswich at home, could be wrong. Ball breaks to Dougie Friedman, and in the press box where you're supposed to be, you know, super serious, from nowhere I blurted out, "Go on, Dougie!" And then you know you've lost the plot. You know you've gone fully mad.
Well, do you get in trouble for that?
Yeah.
I got reprimanded.
A couple of times I got told to, "Can you be quiet?
Rein it in a bit, mate."
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? They were right to say that.
Yeah, you can't be screaming, "Come on, Dougie!" But McFly gig.
Hey, that's good.
Thank you very much. I don't know what I was going to do. A "Hey, Dougie" joke, but I don't really know what that is.
I was with Dougie Freeman the other week, actually.
He's got a bone sticking out of his arm. So home and away, and then I'm from Leeds, and my parents live quite close to Valley Parade, where Bradford.
Phantoms.
And so we played Bradford away, and I said to my dad, "I'll take you in the press box." But I looked into it. The only way I could do it is if my dad pretended to be one of the other sports journalists at the paper. This is like BBC sitcom stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say. So I said to my dad, 90s film.
So I take my dad, and he has to be a guy called David Groves. So my dad's like really overthinking this. I'm like, "Dad, remember, you're David Groves. David Groves. Who are you? I'm David Groves." Brilliant. Get to Bradford City, and the press officer goes, "James, David, thanks for coming up. If you'd just like to sign in there." So my dad signed. He printed David Groves, signature Peter Gill.
No, but that could be an egg.
Oh my God.
Lovely stuff.
So that's how I spell it. That's actually how I spell it.
It's just pronounced David Groves.
Oh, God.
It's one of those ones.
Who's your dad support then?
Sort of Liverpool, really.
Really?
Yeah, just from me being a kid, I guess.
And how does it feel, the fact that in sort of recent times, probably maybe going back 5 years now, Palace have been a banana skin for Liverpool, to tie back every aspect of this podcast so far?
Yeah, but then
Sparkling.
I don't want to be that contrarian, but that now, like, factually, I think is bollocks.
Right, so it was when they were in the title race.
It was
now they get battered.
There was the famous Christian Ball. Yeah. Remember that? Which was objectively hilarious.
And also one of the best football matches of all time.
Absolutely.
An amazing football match.
Hilarious. But then it's almost like Liverpool ever since that just fucking wallopers. Yeah, pretty much. But that Christian Ball match was phenomenal.
How often do you go now? Obviously, you were there the whole time because you were working there. How much of a fan are you now? Like, I say, how much of a fan are you? We played football on Tuesday, and you were in a full Palace kit.
Zaha on the back.
You had a Palace training top on. Training top?
Lads, I don't mind admitting it. If we do a picture afterwards, I've brought my...
Oh, there you go. Lovely stuff.
I brought that.
You wore that the other day.
I did, yeah.
I had Grimsby Town shorts on.
Mate, you'd have to one-up everything.
No,
Reese, I mean, you've really got something here.
No, what I'm saying is, I will always...
With a bone sticking out your shoulder. Yeah,
have a bone sticking out my shoulder, drinking sparkling water, whilst wanking off Dougie Freeman.
So my relationship now is, one of the guys that saved Crystal Palace in 2010 comes to... You know, Palace, we nearly didn't exist in 2010 and were saved by like these three local... businessman. I mean, that is an amazing story. But anyway, one of those guys comes to Always Be Comedy a lot with his sons, and very kindly has me in hospitality a few times during the season. So I do get to go quite a lot.
Yeah.
There was a game towards the end of the season, West Ham, and someone had pulled out on the day from this director's group, and I got a WhatsApp that morning: "Would you like to come to West Ham?" And I said to my wife, "Palace West Ham, that's going to be a great game." My wife goes, "I thought you said you were assembling the new garden furniture? And I went, I would love to go. And she goes, it's up to you. So anyway, I was assembling the garden furniture with BT Sport on my phone, and it was 4-3 Palace, and the commentator said, "This is one of the games of the season."
Oh my god!
So I do go
BBC sitcom.
So I do go quite a lot, but there was one match I really would have liked to have gone to. So I still go quite a lot.
Anyway, you are presumably very happy with the current owners in the interest of keeping your invitation to the director's box. And the fact they saved their little local heroes
Palace
who saved the club.
Right now is, with age, you know, I'm married, I have children. I feel like I've grown up with Crystal Palace mm-hmm. in that I am a relatively, it's not really for me to say, I hope I'm quite a relatively happy, content dude. And I see that reflected in Crystal Palace. Mm. So this, right now, the state Crystal Palace are in, to me, is pure bliss. It's heaven, it's paradise. And I will get to it in a bit. But I cannot fathom these fans that seem to pine for the drama. Mm. Oh, do you remember when we had to not lose at Sheffield Wednesday or else we'd get relegated and probably not exist as a club anymore? Wasn't that brilliant? No, it was horrible.
It was anxiety-inducing, stressful.
It was anxiety 24/7. Why are you romanticising the horrible, horrible past?
So right now it's basically perfect.
It is literally Roy Hodgson as manager. We've got people like Eze, Elise, Gay, some of the most likable, talented dudes that have ever played for the club. Mm. Oh my God. That team, that club, everything about it gives me so much happiness.
We might talk about it in a bit, but you know, obviously Zaha's, as of time of record, future is up in the air.
I don't think he's a Crystal Palace player.
He's out of contract at the moment, so they're now trying to figure out what he does. Does he go to Saudi Arabia? Does he sign elsewhere? But watching those players at the moment that you've got, Elise, Eze, it's genuinely brilliant. And that actually makes you want to watch Crystal Palace. There are certain teams you're going, do you know what, I really want to watch this team. And seeing those lads get into the England squad as well, like, is brilliant because you're like, oh my God.
Electrifying, very emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there, Eze, there was that wonder goal that Eze scored. He sticks it in the top corner. There's just so many. If I was that kid who fell in love with John Barnes, that sounds weird now, say it out loud. But if I was that age now, there's so many players in that Palace team that the sort of players that get you off your seat. You know, I think they're such a great club. See, she's very positive, I know. But when you've witnessed the darkness, you really appreciate the good times all the more. You know.
So almost with the current state of things, almost impossible to improve. Would you say?
I would say literally impossible to improve.
Hang on, breaking news.
Guys, news doesn't get much bigger than this. The new owner of Crystal Palace. Look, I'm not for a second saying that it is the biggest name chairman, but what he lacks in star wattage, just imagine the volume of material he's... Anyway, we're losing focus. The new owner of Crystal Palace Football Club. It's the maestro. Check out the Always Be Comedy pod. I've crossed the line. The new owner of Crystal Palace is James Gill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ah, well, so you can't improve it, but you've decided to buy the club.
Yeah, I mean, want to say congratulations.
Congratulations.
But I feel like this is going to stress you out more than anything, James.
Well, I feel like I'll be swapping the anxiety of running Always Be Comedy for the anxiety of running Crystal Palace.
Very similar.
Very, 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 yeah, very similar. Do you want me to tell
Theater
you?
Theatre of Dreams. Of
I'm such a fan of the pod. Do you want me to tell you how I've afforded it?
Yeah. Please,
oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Great.
This We'd is have great. To second guess this.
We don't need to be here.
Keep that in, Harry.
Let's just get AI hosts. We need guests like James and an AI host.
Just me, Sarah, on my just me and Harry. Harry, I'm ready for the next section. So the Browett family, who come to Always Be Comedy, and we've become firm friends these past few years. What we've done is we've been to an Always Be Comedy together. We've all stayed for a drink, and It's a straight swap.
Oh, really?
It's a straight swap. However,
you see a lot of them these days.
Straight swap. They now own all the people that own Crystal Palace. Now on Always Be Comedy. I'm now the sole owner of Crystal Palace. I can also exclusively reveal that they got the podcast. However, it's Tim Lewis. Always Be Comedy's very own Tim Lewis. Only interviewing Crystal Palace supporting comedians.
Oh wow! Okay,
Elliot Steele.
Quite similar to this podcast.
Yes. Yeah, we've had a lot of them. So you're talking Doc Brown.
Yes.
You're talking Chloe Pets.
Yes.
Mark Elliot Steele. Mark.
Joe Brand.
Susie Eddy Izzard.
Who else?
Are there any others?
Yeah.
Not a long series.
I Googled.
They're
on a loop, mate.
Kerry Godleman. She was at the game the other week.
She was.
I think Harry Enfield, according to Google, but...
I approached Godleyman for the pod after seeing that photo, and Godleyman was
Kevin
like,
Day.
I'm not into it.
Oh, God, of course, Kevin Day, yeah, sorry.
Kevin Day. And his son?
Ed Knight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming.
It's not a bad series.
Hey, I think that. Why do they not do a comedy club at Sellers Park? Well, sorry. Are you thinking about doing a comedy club at Sellers Park? Always be Crystal Palace comedy.
Can I bang out my Peter Andre story?
Oh, absolutely.
How many times have you heard?
As long as you're happy that Lloyd will do a Peter Andre story straight after.
He's got a bone sticking out of his shoulder.
Yeah.
So during that season, when third from bottom to the Premier League, Croydon, you don't say this often, Croydon was rocking. Right?
Now, there's a local journalist if ever I heard
one. Anyone's ever said that, including the mayor of Croydon.
I promise, Croydon was rocking. The area hadn't known anything like it in terms of from the despair to the joy, the euphoria. So Croydon was just like Eagles, absolute Eagles crazy. And this is a true story. Peter Andre, during this mega run, played the Croydon Fairfield Halls.
Oh, it's a great venue.
And he'd been on stage for an hour. So he'd done Mysterious Girl at least six times. And he turns to the crowd and goes, "Do we have any Eagles fans in?" And 2,000 Croydonians jumped up and started chanting, "Eagles, Eagles." And I thought Peter Andre was going to cry. And he goes, "You're in for such a treat because this next song is called Hotel California."
Oh, my God.
What a mad coincidence that is. He must have done that semi on purpose.
Absolutely not.
Did he seem completely oblivious when they went, "What the fuck?"
To this day, he has no idea why 2,000 people simultaneously went, "Oh, for fuck's sake."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Also, like, funny. Surely alarm bells are ringing when you say any Eagles fans in, and they all chant.
But he must be going, "Yeah, I guess I'm in that same category." He must be. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Going, I'm up there. Eagles, Fleetwood Mac,
these
Andre.
Guys love Don Henley. That is absolutely incredible.
That is so funny.
God bless him. God bless him. We will get to it later, but I think as a thank you to Peter for that story, that I would rename the stadium the Peter Andre Bowl.
Oh, really? Andre Bowl.
Definitely.
All right, fair enough. What's the first port of call? So, like, you've got in, you've just got the keys, it's sort of day one, and you want to sort of make your mark on...
Sorry, I'll say, that is a really... We've never asked that question before. Do you actually, as an owner, do you get the keys?
Surely, like, symbolically.
Yeah, I was speaking metaphorically, but I suppose...
Maybe not.
Yeah, it's just a fob these days.
It'll all be... But it'll all be... signed
You've
documents
got the
and stuff.
To the city.
Well, I'm guessing
the
that the caretaker or whoever, probably security person,
the ground staff would have.
Yeah, so keys. You probably don't get the keys like a house sale.
You're not posing outside the stadium that, holding your keys up.
To be handed like a
finally.
Yeah,
after 35 years, raised enough money to buy a football club. Here are the keys.
All it took was a little help from my parents.
So my first port of call would be, I'd go into the middle of the pitch and would address the fans, Delia Smith style, and I'm addressing, I know this isn't exclusive to Palace, I think every football fan suffers from this, but I would address those Palace fans, and I know they're out there, who seem to find finishing 12th every season really boring, which I find absolutely maddening, because you want to say, do you not realise how good this is? Mm. So I would address, my first thing would be to address the fans, guys, you don't realize how good you've got it. When we were getting relegated, when we nearly folded, dudes, that was shit. Remember that you couldn't sleep. remember that it was.
Are you doing a little bit of kind of warm up comparing before this? You know, who's come from the furthest?
Oh, I couldn't. You know what? You're absolutely right.
Posh name.
Also, I don't think you're
going to name.
You know
top
what?
Trumps.
You know, I'm talking a great game like I'm some sort of hardcore chairman.
You'd be out
and
there.
And then
going,
once I'm up there.
What's your name, everyone? So what's the best thing that's ever happened to you? We'll do a slow clap and then you reveal it.
You'll also. I think Guinness
think
will be
posher
there.
Or less posh.
You're
okay.
Absolutely correct.
Guinness World Record will be there. Because, okay, you've just won a world record for the furthest anyone's thrown a Mr. Kipling cake. This is a bit of an in joke. James at gigs often does throw out Haribo confectionery, Mr. Kipling's cakes. I think are a staple of Always Be Comedy, but I don't think the furthest anyone's thrown one would be from the centre circle.
I'd be up for that. Did I tell you I once warmed up? There was a show called Harry Redknapp's. I think it was called Full English, and he took a team of former footballers and he trained them up, and then they played a former Germany team. And they played the match, the climax of the show. They played at Leighton Orient and they needed a warm-up for half-time. And I warmed up the crowd at half-time at Leighton Orient.
What was that like?
You know what? I know for comedic purposes, it would be better if it didn't go well. It
was skier like.
It was. It really was great. So what I'd done was I'd written gags.
Stadiums?
I'd written gags about like pretty much every club in the area. And I had them, like roast style, you know, I had them all printed off. And I was, any Fulham fans? And I do Fulham, and it went so well. And it doesn't make a great anecdote because it did go well, but to the extent where people like running down to the front, going do me, and they wanted like their club roasting. And then I took some kids to take penalties, and then so the crowd were great. Ooh, as these kids took penalties, and then this is a measure of the man. I didn't realise this. They were ready to. They'd come back out. They were ready to kick off the second half. I didn't know this. David Seaman stood and waited until the kids had finished taking their penalties.
Beautiful. Oh, wonderful stuff.
What an eight. Sorry, you're a Spurs fan. I know you don't hear
well,
that.
Well, for someone who, when I met him when I was about 6 years old, called me a little bugger, it's nice to hear that he's changed his ways.
Watch Lloyd now. He called me a little cunt.
No, to be fair, we do get
big
on.
Bugger.
It's not great enough, but we're really good friends. Why did he call you a little bugger?
I was being cheeky. I was being a very cheeky little boy to him, slagging off Arsenal probably.
Really?
Yeah, I met him and then I was like, come on you Spurs or something like that, and then but like, oh you little bugger.
Yeah, exactly, but he said that in like a David Seaman Beano-esque shaking a fist.
Yeah.
You little bugger.
He didn't go, come here you little
yeah.
You rat.
He hit me.
Yeah, exactly. That glove, it stings. Okay, so
you're right.
So you're waiting, but this isn't the day you get the keys. This is like the first match day. You're going into the pitch. You're doing some warm up, and then you're saying, "Now I've got you all in the palm of my hand. You're all fucking idiots,
basically, yeah."
And you need to be okay with 12th because that's what I'm aiming for going forward.
100%. Or even like play a highlights video. Look, remember this, guys, right. Where we were like get relegated away at Charlton on the last day of the 2004
highlights video being relegated,
like a low light. Like a reminder, guys, we used to be proper shit. And I'd show these lowlights and the crowd of like murmurings of, oh, he turns out he's correct. And then I'd play things from like recent seasons.
That is ultimate fantasy, isn't it? Of murmurings of turns out he's correct.
I don't think anyone's ever gone as a fan be like, do you know what? I've never ever heard a fan at a football match go, do you know what? Turns out he's correct. We can play in a diamond. You know what? Turns out he's correct. Yeah. He isn't shit.
It's a script written by the owner.
That's so funny.
Daniel Levy's definitely got one of those in his office waiting to go. When we make the film of my tenure at Spurs, it would just be people going, turns out Daniel was right all along.
They're chanting, you're correct.
Okay, so you're doing that. So that means your aim long term, not even long term, short term is sort of mid-table. Is there a longer term? Is there higher ambition?
Yes. So Crystal Palace, we've never won a major trophy in our history.
Ever?
No, not one. I spent a lot of time writing all this yesterday, and you know, like some clubs have like randomly won the league, like Huddersfield won it three times on the bounce in the 20s. That never happened to us. So I would love to win a major trophy. We got close. There was the famous 1990 cup final that goes to a replay, and then there's the, I think it was 2016. Pardew does the dance.
Yeah.
Pompsham scores.
Oh god.
So what a gift. A gift that keeps giving.
We've got close. We've won, you know, promotion related trophies and things like that. We won the Zenith Data in 91. Yeah, exactly. But we've never won a major. So that would be my dream, would be to deliver that elusive.
Which one ideally?
League Cup, surely.
What a great question. maybe the probably the FA Cup. I once saw Michael Thomas interviewed on Soccer. Oh God, Soccer AM. Oh, I used to host that. I saw.
You've seen my work.
I saw Michael Thomas interviewed on that, and they said, "What's your favourite goal?" And instead of saying the goal that wins the league for Arsenal, he said the scoring the FA Cup final.
Really?
And they were like, really? And he said, because when he was a kid, it was all about the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So maybe it would be the FA Cup.
I also think the FA Cup is attainable. Like, obviously, producer Harry supports a championship side.
They've tasted that sweet, sweet FA Cup glory.
They, you know, and
they
have
also won the league, to be fair. And
they have won the league. But when I saw James Maddison put his highlights reel, which is the opposite of lowlights, he had the FA Cup, and I was like, oh, I forgot that.
Yeah.
It was that. And so it's absolutely attainable.
Open top bus around Croydon. Yes, please.
Yeah, Croydon
Peter
rocking.
Peter Andre singing as we walk through the streets.
Hotel California.
Hotel California. Perfect.
Okay, so you've got the keys. You've addressed them. You've told them, do you know what? We're aiming for 12th. Don't think more. Don't think less. 12th. But I also do want to win the FA Cup.
But long term, we might win the FA Cup.
Long term, want to win the FA Cup. What are you doing then? How are you achieving this? How are you aiming to get 12th every season and win the FA Cup? Talk us through your changes. And also, we need to point this out to the listener. James has brought two sheets.
Printed four pages. And I feel we've done, what, one bullet point?
So far, done one bullet point.
Right.
And that was about Mark Wahlberg.
Join us in part three to find out who the manager is.
So I heard a story that from a TV producer said that they often get pitched the Krypton factor, right? This is what I think. This is the trap that football fans fall into. So this producer is often pitched, you know what you should bring back because it was brilliant, the Krypton factor. And the producer very kindly and diplomatically says, it was fine. He'll say, how old were you when the Krypton factor was on television? And they go, I was 13 years old. And he has to break it to them that what they actually miss is being 13 years old.
Yeah.
And I think that's... And I think that
kind of Brexit.
I think that's the problem. Fans suffer from nostalgia, and it's not necessarily the football or the club. It's because they were younger.
13.
So that's what I'd be ramming home.
So you'd erase memories.
Nostalgia banned.
Really?
Yeah. Living the here and now. Maybe the club badge is today's date.
And that just changes every day.
It's going to cost you so much money. The club badge is today's. Well, you could do it in a sort of hologrammy way, like a little. If you just have one, like a little square. You know how you can get those T-shirts that say text across them. That's like scanning, like electronically. You just get the badge is just a little square that just updates
just a
every day.
Digital calendar.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But it says Battle of the Boyne on it
I
once a year.
The fans would say something. Oh, do you remember that day away at Sheffield Wednesday when Clint Hill literally got spat at and punched because we avoided relegation by the narrowest, and then they'd look down at the badge. Oh, no, sorry, yeah. That
things are, live in the moment.
Live in the moment. Things are better now.
Yeah. Okay, so you want people in the present. Okay, is there any argument for...
Sorry, can I just say it's bad how much I'm laughing at my own gear? That's so bad.
Hey, I do it all the time.
Would there be a way to make people feel like they did when they were 13 and excited about football? Reminding them, it's fucking past it. You're past it, it's over, accept that this is the way it's going to be. If, the Krypton factor thing, if you're saying, actually you only enjoyed that because you were young and it was new to you and it was exciting, is there not a way that you could just kind of recapture that feeling for a bunch of 50-year-olds?
I would remind them, I was at this match, we played Chelsea at home, 2004-2005 season. This was the Chelsea of Drogba, Lampard, Makélélé. Mourinho was manager, right? They beat us comfortably. This was a non-ironic moment. We cleared the ball for a throw-in, and the fans... It wasn't like... You know, like some fans, when they're not scored for a while, whoa!
Yeah, run past together. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that. We cheered like we scored a goal. That is not a fun time. So this is what I'd be
right.
This
it
is
wasn't
really
even good.
This is really joyless ownership that I'm bringing in.
Yeah,
but I would just have to drill into them, guys. I cannot emphasize this enough. This have more fun now.
Yeah.
who's the manager? So speaking about obviously being in the present, Crystal Palace famously have brought back nostalgia in previous managers.
So the manager. Because I'm so happy and so content now. The manager is Roy Hodgson. However, there is a caveat. It has to be Roy Hodgson forever. So I'm aware that he is 75 years old.
Yeah.
And if I can phrase this diplomatically, you know. So what sure. would have to happen is we would have to do like a... Us at the club, I would know about it. The players, the coaching staff would know about it. We would like genuinely have to do like a weekend at Bernie's type thing with Roy. So fans would start to get suspicious when they work out that Roy is 113 years old.
Yeah.
But what we would do is... like a system of levers and pulleys. There would always be a player. There'd always be a player joining him. Someone would get suspicious. They would always have to join him for the post-match interview. And then like through a lever on his head, they would have to like operate him like a ventriloquist dummy. And they would have to, they wouldn't be able to move their lips. And they would have to like do a Roy. So when he speaks the match of the day. So what I did was, so you know that ventriloquist, the one letter they can't say is the letter B, right? Hence the old gottle of gear gag, right? Mm. So I went through the entire Crystal Palace first team squad. Not a single player has the letter B in their name, apart from Eberiche Eze. So we'd, whoever's on Roy duty that day, I'd have to remind them, don't say Eze's first name.
Yeah, no
apes. So just to give a little flavour into my life,
this is great.
My wife worked from home yesterday. I came down for lunch and my wife said, who were you talking to? And I went, sorry, what? She went, what were you doing up there? And I went, I wasn't doing anything. And then what she'd heard was me going through the squad... Are you ready? Going. Right, and for the benefit of the listener, right, I'm going to try and not move my lips.
Joaquin Anderson, Michael Olise, Chick Decore.
Right, so
is that your Roy as well?
No, I mean...
famously.
Roy now unfortunately has generic ventriloquist voice.
Yeah, okay, right?
We've just got to get over that.
Yeah.
And so I think we would genuinely get away with it as long as we'd never say Eberiche. But what are they? I mean, talk about destiny. Not a single player with the letter... B. I mean,
I know.
Oh, yeah. The joy that I felt.
It's like a quiz question.
Who's the assistant manager?
Oh, no, Ray Lewington, but he's no spring chicken either. So they might be pulling double ventriloquist duty. Double
Bernie. But you don't want to be saying Bernie.
No.
Keep that very quiet.
Weekend at Gurney's.
Weekend at Gurney's.
But can I just pull something up? The thing is, Roy famously has a lisp.
Yes.
Twicky. To do. Yeah, Twicky, you
Twicky.
Need to. It's you know, Twicky. He's a W.
No, it's all right.
It's Roy, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? If anything, it's easier.
Actually, yeah,
you're
right.
That was a Twicky going today. Fortunately.
That was a Twicky.
No, Michael Olise.
Oh, hang on. You just tried to say, but fortunately.
And
said, gut fortunately.
Unfortunately, Michael Olise scored a goal.
Wow.
So
okay.
Let's just say...
You're starting to feel offensive for all sorts of other reasons now.
So let's just say Gator, the goalkeeper.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that's a tricky one. Vicente Gaita.
But how, because I've got a feeling that his accent might be a little bit different to Roy's and to some of the, say like Joel Ward, do you know what I mean? So how are you getting away with that?
Maybe it's certain players. Hang on, are you saying that this isn't a watertight argument?
Well, as fit and proper, we need to pick holes in this, do you know what I mean?
I think in that case, maybe we have someone such as maybe Eze is always on Roy duty. That would do it.
Always.
Lovely boy. Eze does it. Oh, Eze, you're joining Roy again for the post-match interview? Yeah. Just ask your first question. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think this works. And I think it makes sense to have him. I mean, it goes with the whole branding of like, you've got to be happy with what this is. Then I kind of feels like Roy has been Crystal Palace manager forever anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it might as well continue for
Can
the rest
of
the time.
Can I just pick something up here? Sorry. This goes back to your kind of like mentality of not living in the past. Ventriloquist dummies are very much a thing from the past. Could you
Bring
not
back.
Use... Could you... Well, no, we're not bringing stuff back. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, okay.
AI? Holograms? Yeah.
It feels
deep
like
fakes?
Technology. If you made Weekend at Bernie's now, right...
Hang on, listen, I'm shredding page number two.
Yeah.
Lloyd's onto something here. Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily... The technology has sort of advanced a lot since that film came out. So, you know... We've seen holograms of Kim Kardashian's dad as a gift from Kanye West,
sure.
for example. They're accessible. Sure,
we can
the
hologram.
Elite, but you're in the elite now. You're a football club owner.
Now, what all this has done is just cemented the fact that all of my references when I'm... on stage are trapped in the 80s, right? So if a friend goes on holiday and comes back with even like the slightest colour of a tan, me, oh, Judith Chalmers, you know.
I don't even know
exactly
what right. the reference
Shirley Valentine.
Listeners over 40 are going, he's absolutely correct. Anyone under 40, what is a Judith Chalmers? And so but you've just rubber, this is rubber stamped confirmation, ventriloquism, pure,
also,
pure
sorry, rubber stamp, very dated kind of,
yeah.
Yeah.
So on brand.
So be a, I'm a not a robot digitally checking. That's
yes,
what we're doing
you're
now.
You're absolutely correct. So AI holograms, it's, anything is possible. So Roy can be the manager forever and Eze doesn't have to come to every post-match interview.
No, and I'd actually, you know what I'd love?
Hang on, you saying that I sat in my bed, sat in my room yesterday.
You did that
doing
for
all
no
those
reason.
Voices.
You could have just typed it into some sort of deep fake software.
And oh, no. You're now able to sign Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, your transfer policy having to rule out any B's is a bit of an issue, isn't it?
I caught my wife trying to remove her wedding ring.
I would love for you to be doing a Weekend at Bernie's thing, though, and just as the suspicion starts to grow, sort of not even in the club, but in the wider football world, just seeing Simon Jordan rant about it on TalkSport. He's going to have a lot to say. He always has a lot to say.
Okay, so you'll have noticed that in the last few weeks, we've had two-parters. And that's not because we're trying to earn more money, because famously, we're destitute.
We're destitute.
We're not. But there's just such good conversations from such good comedians. So we're doing this as a two-parter again.
Yeah, another long one. James, very generous with his time. Four pages of notes.
Many good stories as well, because he's lived it. He's breathed it. So we're going to come back tomorrow for part two. Stick with us. It's an absolute blinder. Reese, anything to add?
It gets even better.
Okay.
Yeah, it stays the same level.
It stays the same level throughout. Some good stuff. And there is no editing of this. This is pure. This is unedited. This is, say a word.
Excellent.
Excellent. See you tomorrow.